And we want to thank the Lord that you're here on this hot summer afternoon. We praise the Lord. I want to read the scripture again for emphasis' sake, Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, and I'll read, just as Donald read. Hear what the prophet says. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Almost home. Almost home. Father in heaven, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, you are my strength. You are my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Almost home. Do you remember a time when you, as a parent or as a kid, had gone on a long trip? After an hour or so on the road, someone would eventually ask, are we there yet? That's it. Are we there yet? This is an all too familiar question that has been asked and will continue to be asked for some time to come. Maybe it's the excitement of going to see grandma or grandpa for the first time. Or maybe it's the first time going to that theme park or that seeing that favorite cousin. Whatever the case may be, you found yourself asking or hearing the question, are we there yet? The excitement has been building for some time now, since the moment you've been told about the trip. Your bags are packed. The vehicle is all packed and loaded. Now the hard part begins, driving the hour, 3 hours or so, to your destination. As a kid, this part of the journey may be the most difficult. You may see it as torture, while your parents, on the other hand, are thinking there has to be a better or shorter way to get to our destination. However, once we've arrived at our destination, everyone quickly forgets about the rough journey. Our only thought is, let the fun and enjoyment begin. After a full day of fun, the journey home sometimes can seem just as long and endless. No one has any interest in looking at the cows and the goats in the field or seeing the miles of endless road ahead. We are tired, short-tempered, restless, and just plain weary. We want to just make it back home quickly and as safely as possible. The only thing left to do now is to take a nap and wish the journey would be over soon. Suddenly, we hear a voice. Okay, everyone, wake up, get ready, get your things together, because we're almost home. Home. What is home? Home is a place where we can be able, home is a place where we should be able to truly relax and get away from the stressors of life. Home should be a place where I know I am loved and not judged. Home is where I should be able to be free and to have a true sense of psychological safety. as well as physical and emotional security. Home should be a place of calm and refuge from the chaos of this world. But that is not always the case. We've seen recently that home can be a dangerous place, total opposite of what I've just shared with you. On March 31st of this year, Stephen Bowens allegedly shot his wife multiple times with a shotgun. She was a prominent local official in the city of Coral Springs, Florida. The shooting took place in their home by someone who should have been serving and protecting the home. Then 2 weeks later, you may have heard, on April the 16th, again of this year, the former Virginia Lieutenant Governor, Justin Fairfax, shot and killed his wife. Then he committed suicide, again, at the home. This all took place while their teenage son and daughter was at home, and their teenage son had the horrendous task of calling the police and describing to them what he just witnessed. Then, 3 days later, again this year, on Sunday, April the 19th, Shamar Elkins shot and killed 8 children at home. 7 of those children was his own flesh and blood. Scripture is very clear when it says that we should not consider this world our permanent home. The patriarchs of old believed and saw in the promise of a future heavenly home from afar. They had hoped for a future reward, which is referred to as a homeland, a country of their own, a heavenly country, a city which has foundations whose builder and maker is God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 13 goes on to say, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them from afar, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. Paul admonished the Philippians believers, don't set your affections on earthly things because they have something better, the blessed hope of their heavenly citizenship. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter encouraged the believers who had been called out of Christ, out of darkness, and into Christ's marvelous light of salvation to abstain from behaviors that does not rightly represent the people of God. Because you are strangers and pilgrims, you should always be on your best behavior. As Seventh-day Adventist Christian believers, we should ever be reminded that this world is not our permanent residence, but our temporary residence. This world is full of sickness. This world is full of death, is full of disease and death. This world is surrounded by corruption, chaos, and confusion. Therefore, as Christian believers, let us focus our minds on things above. Let us focus on heaven rather than the temporary rewards of this world. This world, in its current state, is temporary, but heaven is eternal. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 14 says, for here we do not have an enduring city. King James Version puts it, for we here do not have a continuing city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. The city that is to come represents God's unshakable, unmovable, eternal kingdom. A kingdom where there is no night and everybody will be happy. If this world is not our home and heaven is our home, What can we anticipate? Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 1 says, "And I saw." Throughout the book of Revelation, John on many occasions have said, "I saw," or "and I saw." In chapter 1, John says, "I saw 7 golden candlesticks in the midst of heaven." "I saw 7 golden candlesticks in the midst, and in the midst of the 7 candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man." John gives a detailed description of the Son of Man. His head and hair are white like wool and snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire, his feet like fine brass, and his voice as the sound of many waters. As a result of what John had saw, he fell at his feet as dead. John had saw the resurrected Christ. In chapter 4, John is in vision, and he sees the throne and the throne room of God. In chapter 5, John says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne," he saw a book written within and on the backside, sealed 7 seals. Verse 2, he says, "And I saw," but not only did he see, he heard a strong angel asking, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" The response was, "No man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither look thereon." John weeps at the idea that no man is worthy to open the book. But one of the elders said, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed. He is worthy." Kind of like what Stacia was singing about earlier. Jesus, your name is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Jesus, Son of God, you are worthy. In Revelation chapter 7, we see John where he says, "I saw 4 angels standing or holding back the winds of strife." He not only sees, but he also hears another angel, the 5th angel, the sealing angel, encouraging the 4 to hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. In fact, this 5th angel not only encourages them, this 5th angel cries out with a loud voice, "Hurt not the earth." In Revelation chapter 13, we see John standing on the sands of sea, and saw a beast rise out of the sea, having the 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon the horns 10 crowns. And I beheld another beast. This first beast represents the papacy, and the second beast represents this United States of America. This second beast comes out of the earth. Both the first and the second beast unite with the dragon to serve as a counterfeit to the kingdom of God. This was a plan designed by Satan himself to oppose the kingdom of God. John chapter 14, he says, "And I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on earth, to every nation and kindred and tongue and people." This is the first message of the 3 angels' message. The 3 angels' message is God's final call. This is not only God's final call, but this call is a global call. This call is a global invitation to God's salvation before Christ's second coming. In Revelation chapter 20, John says again, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hands. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and he bound him for 1,000 years." John not only sees the enemy of God, John not only sees the enemy of God's people bound, but he sees what takes place during the 1,000 years. We know the 1,000 years as the millennium. He sees the faithful believers of God who had rejected the beast and his image raised to life eternal. John sees the reviewing of human history by the saved. John sees the great white throne, which represents God's absolute sovereignty and his irreversible judgment. John sees the devil, Satan, the father of lies, the one who deceived the people of God, the one who has tormented and persecuted the people of God, cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, never to attack the people of God again. So, what can we anticipate? Revelation chapter 21, verse number one, John says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." What can we anticipate? We can anticipate a new environment. The eradication of sin brings about a new heaven and a new earth. The Bible teaches that there are three heavens. We know of the first heaven, the atmospheric heaven. That's where the birds and the bees and the fowl of the air fly. I remember when we first moved here, we was in Ithaca at the time, and there was probably 30 of the hot air balloons flying out one Sunday morning. That's the atmospheric heavens. The second heaven is outer space, where the sun, moon, and stars are. The word of the Lord says, "And God said, let there be light in the firmaments of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let there be signs for seasons and for days and years, and let there be light in the firmaments of heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so." And we know the two great lights, the sun to rule by day and the moon to rule by night. In Psalms 8, the psalmist starts out by saying, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory upon the heavens." And then the third heaven is God's dwelling place. Psalms 11 and verse 4 says, "The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent." Notice what Paul says about Jesus, the ultimate high priest who entered into the true heavenly sanctuary to offer himself as the perfect sacrifice that would permanently remove sin. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 24, "For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, no, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." The Bible clearly teaches that, yes, there are three heavens, and the first heaven shall pass away at the end of the 1,000 years. The earth will be renewed, purged by fire, and restored to its original state. 2 Peter 3 and verse 10 puts it this way, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." The earth also and the works therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you and I to be in all holy conversations and godliness? Verse 12, "Looking for and hastening until the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Here we see where, once again, Peter has put an emphasis on looking. In verse 12, Peter says, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God. In verse 13, he says, nevertheless, according to his promise, we look. And then in verse 14, he says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent. Peter puts an emphasis on looking for that new city, looking for a place whose builder and maker is God. Almost home. Almost home means that we are nearing a world where there will be no physical or spiritual barriers. No more separation from family, friends, and loved ones who died in the Lord Jesus Christ. No more praying and talking to the invisible God of creation, because we will see him face to face. The poet and hymn writer Carrie Ellis Breck wrote in 1898 this familiar hymn. She wrote the hymn as she was doing her daily routines. She was a housewife, and she had the responsibility of raising her five daughters. And as she was doing her daily routines of making dinner and cleaning the house, she began to reflect on scripture that says, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. And out of the 1,400 poems and hymns that she wrote, her most favorite hymn that she wrote goes like this. Face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face what will it be when with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ who died for me. Face to face, oh blissful moment, face to face to see and know, face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ who loved me so. But she kept writing, face to face shall I behold him, far beyond the starry skies, face to face in all his glory, I shall see him, you shall see him, we shall see him by and by. What a day that will be to see the face of Jesus. Not only can we anticipate a new environment, we can also anticipate a new experience. Revelation 21 and verse number 4. And God shall wipe all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. In the book, Great Controversy, and I believe it's page 677, she says, pain cannot exist in the atmosphere of heaven. No more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. This is the ultimate promise God gives to his children. Scripture emphasizes that we are living behind the former things and entering into a new reality defined by peace, eternal peace, peace that only God can give. The end of sorrow, the end of grief, and the end of pain. This home is a place where all physical and emotional scars of our journey here on earth will be permanently healed. Great Controversy, page 674, says this about the scars. The only reminder that you and I will have as it relates to the scars here on this earth, whether they're physical or emotional, will be zero. The only scars will be the scars what Christ will bear. She says this, One reminder alone remains. Our Redeemer ever bear the marks of his crucifixion upon his wounded head, upon his pierced side, upon his hands and his feet are the only traces of the work that sin has wrought. Oh, what a day that will be to see Jesus. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more broken homes, no more failed marriages, no more lost jobs, no more overwhelming debt or the inability to afford the basic necessities of life, like groceries, housing, and health care. No more feeling anxiety, no more racism, no more classism, no more toxic family conflicts, no more rejection and betrayal. No more fearing for the future, because our future is secure in Jesus Christ, our Lord. What can we anticipate? Not only can we anticipate a new environment, not only can we anticipate a new experience, but we can also anticipate his presence. Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. The heart of being home is the fact that God the Father and Jesus Christ will be there. Revelation 21 and verse 3 now serves as the great climax to the biblical narrative. It is here that we see in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, we see a perfect environment. It's a perfect environment where God would come and commune with the holy pair, Adam and Eve, on a daily basis at the cool of the day. We know in Genesis chapter 3, sin entered in, and from Genesis chapter 3 all the way to Revelation chapter 20, God, the angels, and all of heaven are doing everything possible to save us from eternal damnation. It is here now in Revelation chapter 21 that we see what we saw in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, that perfect environment. We now see a perfect environment coming into vision because of what John says that he saw. He says, this is now the biblical narrative. God's original plan for humanity is now fully restored. During the Old Testament days, the tabernacle or the sanctuary was a temporary tent or meeting place in the wilderness where God would meet with or dwell with his people. Exodus 25 and verse 8 says, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell with them. The sanctuary served as a physical shadow of God's presence, heavily guarded by rituals, because sin separated a holy God from a sinful people. Being home means the tent is replaced by the permanent and open access to Christ. The sanctuary is no longer a building. It is a face-to-face relationship with both God the Father and Jesus Christ, his Son. The Greek word for dwell is skeno. Skeno literally means to pitch a tent, to live in a tent, to encamp, or to tabernacle. This is not a casual relationship alone. It is a deep, meaningful, and eternal relationship. This is the exact same words used in John chapter 1 and verse number 14. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Or, and the word became flesh and skeno, the Greek word skeno, among us. Just as Jesus pitched a tent in human flesh to live alongside the people during his earthly ministry, God will pitch his tent among the redeemed for all eternity. Revelation 21 and 22 states, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." When the way seems dark and you can't see your way through, remember, almost home. When the issues and the challenges of life become so overwhelming that you feel like throwing in the towel and giving up, remember, almost home. When the doctors have given you a report that appears to be hopeless, remember, almost home. When you find yourself having more month than you do money, and you're finding it hard to make ends meet, remember, almost home. If you are young or young at heart, and you're trying to just fit in, and you're trying to be like others for fear of FOMO, FOMO is fear of missing out. Remember, almost home. For the word of the Lord says, "Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither have it entered into the hearts of men the things which God has prepared for his people." Hear the words of this song. Today, America celebrating her birthday. 250 years ago, 1776, as we know, the Declaration of Independence was signed, and America became a country. A country of our own, as CJ said in the offertory earlier, way we can be governed ourselves. We're not the oldest country in the world, but we're not the youngest country in the world. I cannot stand here and guarantee you that we will be here 250 years from now. What I can guarantee you, by the authority of the Word of God, heaven is eternal. John was very clear of what he saw. John was very clear of what he heard. And he said, a better day is coming after a while. A land where every day will be peaceful. You don't have to pay any high electric bills, because the Father and the Son, they're going to provide all the light you will need. You don't have to worry about high grocery bill, because we are told that there's going to be a tree, and every month it's going to be a different fruit. I don't know if it's going to be mangoes, watermelon, peaches, or pears. I don't know. But what I do know is whatever's there will be satisfied. There are parties, celebrations, events taking place all over this country today in support of her independence. Praise the Lord. But as I said earlier, can't guarantee you America's going to be here, or any place, or the world will be here 250 years from now. I want to be where there's no nights. I want to be where it's not extremely hot or extremely cold. I want to be in a land where it's just right. I want to be there. What about you? By the grace of God, let's be there. Come on up, Sister Nani, and let's sing our closing hymn. I want to share this scripture text, last one, Revelation 21 and verse number 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, because these words are true and they're faithful. It's going to happen. When Jesus comes back, a better day will happen. Father in heaven, you said your words are true and they're faithful. And there are times in life, Lord, where we as sinful human beings, we tend to doubt. Oh, Father, help us not to doubt this word. May we forever be reminded that all of your words shall come to pass. In fact, you said heaven and earth shall pass away before one jot or one tittle of your word pass away. We want to be home with you. Not because of the streets of gold, not because of the gates of pearl. We want to see Jesus face to face. And I pray, dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, that that will be a reality in all our lives. And so bless us until that end, we pray. Bless our going out and our coming in. Bless our lying down. And when we rise to the dawn of a brand new day, bless us, O Lord, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen.